The artist's brain is an independent variable. When brought into the everyday world, their senses find meaning in even the most mundane observations. The reaction must only be told by the artists themselves. I'm Loverboy, and this is an experiment.
Allegra Miles, we're back.
We're back at it again.
We're
back at it again.
Back.
Brilliant. Again.
Right from here, we're going to see the Penang Gang.
We are spicy soup.
Spicy soup. The
spiciest soup you could imagine.
Benny.
Benny.
The one and only. He was
Absolutely.
On yesterday.
It's perfect timing.
He saved the day.
Yeah.
What's up with you, Allegra Miles?
Oh my gosh. Life is so cool. Life is so good. And I have Luna by my side, so.
She is chilling.
I am deeply inspired by Luna. She informs my decisions every day.
That's the best person you could pick.
The best being.
But
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Incredible. It's nice to have you back.
Yes, I'm happy. Thank you for having me back.
Of course.
It's amazing to see all the leveling up, the ascension in the studio. It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
It's always, I tell you this like all the time, but first time I ever walked in here, I was just like, this is my dream. Like all of this is like my dream oasis. If I could have any setup, and then it just keeps getting.
Well, soon we'll be even closer.
Absolutely.
Be over by Danny's.
And I'm so excited.
I can't wait.
You guys, it's going to be amazing.
So you've been playing, I feel like, a lot of shows.
Yeah, I got to. I'm trying to think, when was the last time? When was the first time?
We did this a long time ago.
Like months last year.
Probably like 5 to 7 months ago at least.
Wow, okay. Yeah, a lot
is crazy. I've seen you like every weekend since though.
Exactly, which is fantastic. Okay. I know my baby. I have played a couple festivals, which has been amazing. I played my first festival, Okeechobee Fest, in March, which was just the craziest.
That's in Florida.
In Florida, yeah.
Where you're from, which is crazy.
Which is just so
cool.
Or
where your family lives now.
Yes, yes. But I mean, I mostly grew up there for like 7 years. So, I played my first festival with my band. And it was the coolest thing. It was like in the middle of the woods.
Yeah.
Like, you guys would have loved it. Like,
I grew up with all my friends because a massive part of my friend group was Florida,
right.
Was Boca and West Palm.
Right.
So everybody went to Okeechobee.
Okeechobee, right, exactly. And so it was one of those things, and just camping in the middle of the woods, and we got to camp and see all these other artists. I mean, we got to see Earth, Wind, and Fire. We got to
see
Anderson .Paak. And
so you played on the same lineup as Earth, Wind, and Fire and Anderson .Paak.
Yeah.
Was that a wild feeling, just knowing that all of this hard work is turning into you being on the stages that you probably grew up watching people play on?
Yeah, it was seriously like the most full circle, insane thing in the world. And I cried a lot that day. I honestly was leading up to it was very stressful. Mm.
I saw the video of
you.
First of all, thank you for posting that, because I think most artists want to keep this idea of them being confident and happy and smiley all the time, and that's bullshit. And the actuality of life is, no matter who you are, obviously the more you do it, the more you get used to it.
Yeah.
But you need to be a little freaked out to get on stage. You have to be a little, maybe freaked out is the wrong word, you have to have some energy behind it. I feel like that comes from just loving what you do so much that you want to do it right.
I think you're so, it's because you care. Like, I feel like my perspective on getting nervous has changed a lot. And someone told me a while ago, like, being nervous and being excited are essentially the same feeling.
Yeah.
Which was so, I had never thought of that. And that was so freeing to me. It's like, it's because you care. It's love. It's passion. It's, if you never got nervous, I mean, I don't know, you know, it's like,
it's,
you have to.
Yeah, it's just like, it's like this, this experience that I feel like makes what you're doing valid.
Yeah.
It allows you to know that you're doing something important, whether it's for the fans, whether it's for yourself, whether it's for your family, whatever it is. It's like, it gives you this opportunity to really sit and think and stew in this feeling that you're about to like embrace.
Yeah.
And it makes it a little bit more precious.
Yeah. Oh, that is the perfect way to describe that. It's so cool you said that, because the whole, for both the festivals. So I got to do Okeechobee, which was the first, coolest thing. And then Just last month, we played at Sunfest, which is truly the hometown festival, like literally in West Palm Beach where I grew up. And so that was cool because, I mean, that was all the family, all the friends, like my whole tribe and everyone and, you know, my band and all my band's friends and everyone. And coolest thing. And the word that kept coming to mind of like what it meant and felt like was it was sacred. Like, it was just, I don't know, I remember writing in my notes app, like, right after, I was like, I will relish in this forever. Like, I will always cherish and relish in this feeling. I will never take this for granted. Even if I got to do it 100 more times, which would be crazy, I was like, this is the most sacred.
That's a special moment.
Yeah.
And the fact that you wrote it down. Yeah. And obviously, I'm sure there's pictures and videos and stuff, but like having these landmarks, these lighthouses that you build for yourself along the road allows you to look back no matter how far you are and remember where you were, appreciate where you're going, and remember the path too. I was just thinking about this yesterday. A year from right now, I would have been in Vietnam backpacking with my brother. And that was by far the most important experience I've ever had in my life. And there's so much of it that I promised myself I would never forget. And that daily I forget. And luckily I have photos and I have, my brother had me write in this journal and like all these different opportunities that I gave myself to throw myself back into it and remember. And like, man, those are important.
Yeah.
Those are important. Cause there's so many lessons. If you're doing it right, you're probably getting a lot of new information every day and taking it in for what it's worth. And that takes up room also. So you have to have other ways to remember things so you don't fill up all the space you have and have to start throwing away important memories.
Right. It's like almost like a file cabinet.
Absolutely.
In a way where you can kind of try to organize and consolidate in a way that makes sense to store everything. But wait, how long were you in Vietnam again? 'Cause I
3 weeks.
3 weeks. Okay. Yeah.
That's wild.
That's
like, amazing.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I'm going to go back.
Yeah.
My dream is to take Elle there and to take my brother to Japan.
Oh my gosh.
Those two things are going to happen in the next couple of years for sure.
I'm so excited for you.
You've traveled a lot though, right?
Honestly, not a ton. I mean, I grew up in the Caribbean in the Virgin Islands.
Was it St. Kitts?
St. John. Yeah. The tiny
one
little
of the saints.
Baby. Oh, one of the saints. Yeah. Lots of saints. But yeah, so I grew up there. Other than that, that was so cool. But other than that, I've been to Guatemala and I've been to Costa Rica. But
Guatemala's not that far from here.
It's really not. Oh my gosh.
Is that what I'm thinking of? Is it Guatemala that's not that far from here?
From here,
4 hours or something?
Honestly, it's probably not that far. Yeah. I haven't even thought of that.
Because I was looking at places, hi Luna, that I could go out of the country and get that experience without it being a 32-hour travel time like Vietnam was.
Oh, I could not recommend Guatemala more. Oh my gosh.
I know. She's so cute.
I'm so obsessed. I can't even tell you. Guatemala was we went a few years ago. It was just the cool. I want to go back. I would live there. I would 100% live there. Just the sweetest, most open-hearted people. Mm.
What would the ideal, if you were going to leave the country, what would the ideal experience look like for you?
Honestly, one of my dreams is at some point, I don't know when, but to just live, to be a nomad, to live in like, to live in a place for say 2 months at a time and then move on.
Yeah. Enough time that you can get past the fact that it's new.
Right.
You can start immersing yourself in everyday life that people, that was one of the things that I loved about Vietnam, but that also that I was frustrated with is right when you start understanding a place and you've seen enough of it to then start going around and remembering what you want to go really dig into, then it's time to go to the next part.
Right. And it almost feels, it feels like there's never enough time.
Yeah.
Which is,
but it's, I tell everybody this, and I will stress this for the rest of my life. The most important thing that I can recommend to anybody to do in their life, whether it's you're in a shitty place and you need a new perspective, whether it's you need a better understanding of yourself, whether it's you need just new in general, or whether it's just you want a new experience that's going to help you grow, go travel to places that have as much different from the US as they have similar, if not more.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
It makes a difference. I'm sure Europe is amazing. I haven't been yet. I'm looking forward to going, but
yeah,
being in a place where you will 99.9% of the time be the other.
Yeah.
You
yes.
are.
Yes.
The any form of racism that can happen is towards you, not vice versa.
Absolutely.
And you can understand what so many people in this country go through.
Yeah.
I mean,
talk about a perspective shift.
Holy just shit. Like,
and that's just really important for having empathy, which I think having empathy is one of the most important qualities that someone can have. Just like yeah. basic human empathy. Just basic of like, okay, I have not lived your experience, but I can do my best to understand and appreciate yes. and respect that I don't know. And like, I don't know, you know?
That's huge.
It's like
though.
we don't know a lot.
And that's part of it. That's something that in the world right now, I feel like is lacking.
I agree.
And especially in the US, but that's what I understand because that's where I am.
Right.
But I feel like we hit this place where people have to fight so hard for some sort of equality that I think a lot of people stopped remembering that the best way to introduce your perspective is to talk about it. And not to expect people to understand it already, because all the time you're sitting expecting them to understand, you could have explained it already. And don't get me wrong, there's still going to be shitty people. But if your perspective or your goal is to explain your situation based off of how you feel about it and not how you expect other people to feel, you're going to be able to get empathy across to people that maybe wouldn't understand you in the same way.
Yeah.
Teach, don't preach.
Teach. Ooh, that's good. Teach, don't preach. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, because how is anyone supposed to understand anything?
Exactly.
I mean, we're all different. Every single person has had a different experience growing up, different way of life. And I so agree. I think it's important to just, I mean, have conversations like that and just have difficult conversations. And
yeah.
also to talk with people who have different opinions than you and different perspectives. And
that's 100% it.
I think it's so important. Like, you know, I love talking to people. I know you definitely love talking with people. And I think we're lucky because, you know, we have such a cool, amazing community of a lot of yeah. like-minded people, which is such a blessing. And
such a blessing.
I'm so grateful for that. But in addition to that, I do also, I mean, you kind of run into people randomly that
yeah.
that will have a perspective that sometimes immediately, like the first response can be, it makes you mad because
yeah.
it goes against stuff you believe in. And I would say in Florida, I've encountered that a good amount.
I'm sure.
More so than out here.
I'm sure.
And I've done my best to just listen.
Yeah.
And hopefully they'll listen to my perspective too. Even if they don't, I will try to listen to theirs and hopefully find a middle ground, because at the end of
yeah.
the day, we're all human.
Well,
and
there's like, I think everybody expects that just because they explain their perspective, others will understand or agree.
Right.
I think if that's your goal, then personally, I think you're kind of shooting in the dark, because
yeah.
a more grounded goal from my perspective would be to go at the end of the day and understand that I did the best I could to explain what I believe in,
yeah,
and understand that that's what I believe in, and other people are going to have their own perspective, whether it's right or wrong. In real big, what are these?
Quotes.
Oh my god! But don't spend too much energy on wanting people to be you. Fill that space your own, yourself.
Mm,
you know,
I like that.
There needs
yeah.
to be there needs to be one of everybody.
Yeah,
that's the best part about it.
Absolutely, and. And I think too, like exactly what you said, like you'll find some people with different perspectives who are willing to listen and compromise. And like, that's a beautiful thing where
exactly.
both parties can learn and grow. And then there's some people who are so committed to misunderstanding you and so committed and so deeply ingrained in their ways
yes.
that just regardless of what you say, regardless of how much you try to listen to them, they're not going to.
They're not gonna
understand.
Yeah. And,
you know, and that's okay. And that's.
I hope they have a beautiful time and a beautiful life. And
right.
I probably won't be surrounding myself with them.
Right.
I, I'd rather surround myself with people as much as I can that I don't agree with, who are willing to have the conversation.
Yeah,
I don't need them to agree with me at the end of the day. I need to know that we both had a conversation. At the end of the day, we could hug or shake hands and go on with our way no matter what we take or leave.
Right. Even if you disagree. It's like we still talked about it.
And sometimes if you disagree at the end, but it's still, there's no animosity.
Yeah.
That's almost just as beautiful as agreeing, you know, because
absolutely.
Then there's so many ways to connect with the other person.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be on them becoming your exact mindset.
Yeah. So many ways to find the similarities of humanity, to find the intercrossings of, like, we might disagree on something huge, but it's like, hey, we still wake up in the morning, we still go to sleep, we still breathe, you know?
And that's like one of the interesting things. And I try to exercise this as much as I can, and I go to museums by myself, and I go to the mountain. I do a lot of things on my own. But one of my favorite things to do is just people watch and
me too.
Put into that perspective, like, just as important to me as my life is.
Yeah.
Each person that you're seeing has their own version of that for themselves and their family and their troubles and their happiness and their successes and their failures.
Yeah.
What did you like that part, Luna?
Luna resonated. She's like, yeah. She's like, preach to the choir.
She gets it.
She gets
doesn't
it.
Want to sit. That's okay.
But she's enlightened. She's an enlightened dog.
I feel like you just understanding that there's so many lives being lived and you can't change them all, but you can sure as hell do your best to try to help as many as possible.
Help. Absolutely. Come from a place of love and understanding. And I do think that's just so important to remember, just with people in general, is that we are, you know, it seems obvious, but like, we all get so caught up in our own lives and in our day-to-day life that it can be hard sometimes to remember that, like, every single person has just as complex and nuanced and microscopic dissecting type of life as we do. Every single person. And we never know what people are going through, ever.
She's trying to lick your hand while
I know, baby girl. You can lick my hand now, as much as you
now
want.
She doesn't
want
to be still.
I know. No,
but it is, you're right. It's so complex and it's so interesting and so fun.
Yeah.
And so freaky.
Yeah.
And just so many different things wrapped in one.
Absolutely.
But on a completely different note.
Yes.
What is Allegra Miles doing right now? What is next? What's happening? What's going on?
Yeah. So I have been making so much music. And I will say, for the first time, honestly, just in the past month, maybe, I know, baby girl. I know. Just in the past month, I would say, I have felt such a shift and such a, like, awakening. It's okay, baby girl. It's okay. I just feel like I have finally found my sound musically and the music I want to create. And I mean, I think we talked about it last time, and me and you have just had lots of conversations about this. But for a while, it definitely was hard for me, because I've always been inspired by all types of music. I grew up listening to all types of music, and so it's kind of come out in the way I express it as, you know, as different things, which I don't think is a bad thing at all, because it's all felt like me and authentic to me.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I had never really thought until recently to, instead of making songs that, you know, separately, that are all these different separate influences.
Yeah.
Why not make it all in one? And it seems like a no-brainer, but
kind of like an album?
Yeah. Well, that too, but also even just like within the song.
I see.
So for example, like, and again, I still don't like to really necessarily label anyone's sound or my sound or anyone's sound.
By the way, that fucking clip.
Oh yeah.
Went off. People were going nuts. I had so much fun. It was
fun. Oh my gosh.
There's some crazy fucks in this world.
They're really
people need to get off of YouTube and go on a walk.
They do. They just breathe. It's okay.
Yeah.
We can breathe. It's all good. But what was I saying? Oh yeah. While I still don't like love to necessarily label it with words, I feel like the closest thing I could say recently, what I've been making, it's like hyperpop R&B is what I would say.
Ooh,
I'll play you some stuff after,
please.
But like, I have never felt this way about music I've made before. It feels so me, and it feels so authentic, and just a blend of everything.
Yeah.
And it's definitely also been inspired by a lot of stuff I've been listening to recently. Like, have you heard of Breakins?
Mm.
Oh, God. Okay. I just need to go on a little Breakins tangent, which I need you to listen to this album. This album, my friends back in Florida, Berto and Gavin, like two of my closest friends, like collaborators, Gavin's an amazing artist. Berto, he's like a music director. He's a drummer. He's everything.
Shout out to Berto and Gavin.
Yeah. They're going to come in July. So
come hang.
Anyways, or actually, no. First, it was my friend Elise, who hopefully is going to be moving to LA. Anyways, multiple different people had told me about this artist named Breakins, and I had heard songs here and there, and I was blown away. But I didn't really get it until I listened to the full album. So this album is called Hypochondriac, and it's crazy because I think from what I heard, Breakins, he's 21, only 21 now. And he made this album for 4 years, from when he was 16 to when he was 20. I swear to God, what? I think it's top two favorite albums ever. It is. I did not know people could do this with music. He does things that, like, I didn't know that was an option. I didn't know that was allowed. Like,
what? I need to hear this.
Oh, I cannot wait for you to hear it. And it's one of those that each song flows into the next. And, like, quite literally, like, the end of one song is the beginning of the next. Those are my favorite types of albums. It uses sound. I mean, lyrically, musically, melodically, it just does things I did not know a human could do this. It just feels so intergalactic.
I don't normally do this.
Oh,
and
please.
If it gets flagged, I'll just re-upload it without this.
Okay.
But what? Give me one song.
Oh God. Okay, that's really hard. In terms of,
is it BR?
Can we listen to the full song? Because let's listen to the full song. It's like, yeah.
Well, I'll probably have to cut it down for them, but we can listen
for
to
them.
It.
Yeah, just so you get the whole. Okay, listen to Venus Flytrap. By Brakence. Yeah.
Hypochondriac. I think you blood pressure spikes. I'll have a heart attack.
You wanted to know where I've been.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Brakence, when are we getting you on the podcast, dog? Yeah, I need Brakence. To talk to you. The three of us.
Oh, God. I would lose my mind. I'm crazy.
Oh, my God.
But yes, please listen to the.
Oh, I will.
And anyone listening, please listen.
That's
to
normally not the type of stuff that I find myself listening to, but that
and
was...
same here. Me neither. Until
yeah,
I did. You know,
I'm like stumped. I see what you mean. He almost had a whole album in that song.
Yeah,
like there was the tempo changes, the chord changes, the volume changes, the dynamics, the energy and. Just fucking tonal shifts.
Yeah.
Wow, dude, yeah. Don't stop, please. Thank you for that.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And I think the main thing with him is, like, again, it just kind of showed me, like, there's no rules with
fuck
music.
No, there's not.
You can do anything you want. Mm-hmm. And that's especially inspired me, too, with producing, because I've been producing more and really now putting the time in and making it a priority, which I hadn't before. I feel like... I don't know, up until, again, like a couple months ago, I was scared. I don't know why, but I was scared of, like, I don't know what I feel like I'm just going to mess it up, like, in producing, and then it's going to, like, everything's going to go to shit, and then I can't, and this and that, and then now, my perspective, I'm just like, of course I'm going to fuck up, like, of course. You have to. That's how you learn, and also, now I literally just, like, try shit. Like, I just go on Splice. I listen. I put it in. Like, what would it sound like if I pitch it all the way down, turn the form in all the way up? What if I, like, what if? And it's just so free. And I'm so grateful. Like, I'm able to do that because I've struggled with my mind for so much of my life. And I still do, for sure, as I know we all do in different ways. But I've struggled with my mind with music and just with life. And this weird type of perfectionism past the point of benefiting me has had like a chokehold on me for a lot of my life. And it has
that before you were in the competition?
Yeah, but I mean, it's still honestly, again, in only the past couple of months, I feel like I've finally been able to make big strides away from that and felt the most free I've been. So
do you think being on something like American Idol gives you this like preconceived conception of what you need to do with your life as a musician, that is, whether, I'm not saying even that they install it, just the fact that you're on this sort of specific platform where you are treated as a singer and the songwriting aspect isn't focused on, and the music ability isn't focused on, and the instrumentation isn't focused on. Do you think that gave you this perspective or conjured this perspective of what you need to be?
I will say, like, in terms of like my own perfectionism stuff, I've been dealing with that like honestly my whole life.
Yeah.
But I think it Idol can do that for some people for sure. Mm-hmm. Just from the nature of it. But I will say it's changed over the years, I think, in the sense of, I believe, like, many years ago, it used to be, you know, just for singers. And, like, I don't consider myself a singer, really. Like, I don't want to. Like, I'm not the big belty singers. I am in awe of that, and I respect that and appreciate that and admire that.
It's a different sport.
It's a different sport, absolutely. And there's a lot of people on Idol who are that, and that's incredible. But, like, I would say there were a good amount of people on my season who, similar to me, were not like the big belters, but more so like writers and songwriters, which was cool. I feel like they've been a lot more open to that recently, which is cool. But I do know some people who were on it a couple years ago or many years ago, and they did have the experience of, you know, it's for singers.
Yeah.
Which is, you know.
You just met James, right?
Yes, James. He's so sweet.
He's one of my favorite people to ever walk this planet. He is not only is he the sweetest and possibly one of the most talented people I've ever met, but his perspective and his story. If you ever get the chance to sit down with him just to talk, you will leave a better person, I promise. That you can't help it with him. He's unbelievable. But I feel like I've met so many people who've been in the system of the show.
Was he on the show?
I think so.
I didn't even know that, because I was talking to him about some random shit, but I think
it was American Idol.
Oh, cool.
It was either American Idol or The Voice. No, it was American Idol.
Sick.
Because I'm pretty sure he went to go play guitar for his friend and ended up doing his own. I don't know. But he's, I just meeting you and Sage, and ended up meeting Fitz and all these people who have been through that, and seeing, you guys are probably like some of the most smiley, happy people I know though too. So, so maybe it's like the system is built for people that can handle it.
I guess so. Yeah. I think it's also like what you make it too. I mean, I personally didn't want to go on the show at first, because especially after doing The Voice first, I
forgot you did both.
Yeah. Which is the thing. And I was never planning on doing another one. Mm-hmm. But the reason I did is because I wanted to showcase my writing, and they said you could, which was the cool thing about it. But
what song did you do that you wrote?
I did Tainted, my song, which is like the...
Oh, I know Tainted.
That, yeah. Okay. I did that for the audition, and then I also got to do it. There was a round where you could like repeat a song. They wanted to repeat a song. So I did it again with the full band, which was so cool. And obviously,
that must have been wild hearing your own song on a stage like that.
It was such so crazy.
Idols in front of you.
Oh, yeah. Well, and the band too. It's just like beyond.
I met a guy who worked on The Voice and did production. And he was explaining how he's never gotten so good at something so quickly, because all day, every day, you're making a new version that sounds different enough that you're not going to get copyright issues, but still have it. So they're just reproducing all day, every day, and it has to be done, and it has to be done on time, and it has to be done at a certain quality.
Yeah. Oh, and I mean, it's so much deadline based, especially when it gets to the live shows. Like,
I can't imagine.
Everyone is working. I mean, the team, I know the production teams and the music teams working like round the clock too. And
what judge were you the closest with?
On Idol, I would say Lionel. That's honestly, so he's just the way just
you,
a sweet
you realize
heart.
Lionel's Lionel Richie.
I know
Lionel.
No,
that's
I
the
know.
Craziest thing.
Yeah, he is just the that's sweetest. So cool. He has this pure, warm teddy bear. I every time I feel like he has a golden aura.
Oh my god,
he's just golden.
I'm coming for you, man. I want you on this podcast. That would be a dream.
Hey,
it's been said by Allegra Miles. Now you have to.
You gotta come. You gotta come hang out.
And what about on The Voice?
Well, my coach was Nick Jonas, which was really funny.
Oh my god!
It was great. He was great.
He seems amazing.
He is. He is really great coach. Really great at explaining things and getting his point across in a really interesting way. He's very calm. He's very like.
Yeah, that man's been through the ringer and back as a fucking kid, as an adult.
Absolutely.
And still has the biggest, his band, I mean, the Jonas Brothers have like one of the biggest comebacks in pop music.
Is that crazy?
It's so wild.
Like how that happens with, that's hard to pull off, I feel like, especially.
Yeah. I just heard a podcast with them. I respect the hell out of them. Those, they've been through just the craziest shit that no kid should ever go through.
No, absolutely.
And
absolutely.
Still, and obviously, they're all very talented, but I think Nick is the one who's like, there's some, he's the ringleader. You can tell he's not just a great singer, but he's a great musician and a great songwriter.
He is, absolutely. Then I think the way he views music and even arrangements and stuff, and he was really helpful on all that stuff. And it's
so cool.
It's cool too, like meeting or hearing on a podcast or a interview, whatever, people who make, you know, pop music, but there are so many people who make pop music who have such a wealth of musical knowledge that most people would never know, which is so cool.
Kind of how you become the best at pop music
is
once you learn the rules, then you get really good at breaking them.
Yeah, absolutely. Who,
if there was one judge from the two shows that you could walk into on the street and give a hug and just like see how they're doing, who would it be?
I would say Lionel, because he is,
that's so cool,
so grounding. And I mean, for all of us, like, you know, there's a lot of very stressful parts of the being on the shows, and he always approached it all from a very human perspective, and really did his best to put himself in our shoes, which was really cool. I didn't really feel much of a wall from him. He really did his best to connect with us and take the time, even off camera, you know, in between takes, and talk to us. Hey, how y'all doing? Like, he's like, just keep going. It's the moon for all of you. And he had these little catchphrases. Just sweetest man.
What a trip, and what a life you've already lived.
Yeah, it's.
Are you having fun?
I'm having so much fun.
You happy?
I am. I'm very happy. And I will say I am right now the happiest I've been in ever.
Me too.
Makes me so happy.
I really do think that part of it is who you surround yourself with. And if you surround yourself with enough people that don't only want themselves to be happy, but want you to be, that feeling lingers and it turns into something. It's like pressure creates diamonds, but pressure can come from a really tough situation or really beautiful situation, really beautiful people. And we just happen to create this friend group of people. I mean, like even tonight, like right from here, we're going to go watch our buddy fucking play at a bar.
It's so cool.
And I'd rather go see him play at a bar than go see anybody else play at a stadium. Like
1,000%.
There's just an energy that I can't stress enough how important it is to find your people. And I promise they're out there. And I promise if you keep turning over every stone, eventually Patrick's under one of them, you know?
Absolutely.
You're going to find him.
You will always find him. Yeah. I'm so glad you said that. And I think that's so important for people to remember. And I definitely struggled with that for many years even a few years ago, I would say about two years ago in Florida, I found my people in Florida. And then I'm so grateful, even before I moved to LA, I found so many of my people already. But I think when you're around people who aren't your people, you feel like you have to censor yourself or water down yourself, conform. Exactly. Yeah. And I used to definitely feel that way. And like, for example, I don't know, I'll tend to get like very excited about stuff and, you know, and like go on tangents and which I love. And I love people like that. And that it makes me so happy to now be around those people who get that. But when you're around people who don't and you get like excited and just go on this and they just kind of like look at you like, okay, like, and again, it's fine. You know, it's fine. It's just, it's so
different strokes for different folks.
Different strokes for different folks. And it's cool because you find like there's people who it's so uplifting and it recharges your batteries to be around those people. Exactly. And there's people who drain it. And it's just, you know, I think you know, it's easy to know. It's like, how do you feel after you leave?
And you know, people? Like the best thing you can do for a battery to keep it going for longer is to cycle it and charge it, but also deplete it. Mm-hmm. And I really think both of those are part of this built-in system that we have where you can't always be fully charged because you won't appreciate it. You can't always have people around you that are perfect because then you won't appreciate when you do.
Yeah.
You know, like you need, and also if you really believe that you have something to teach or you have an energy that is worth sharing, then sometimes being around people that don't have that is only going to help.
Yeah.
You know, you have something to share, not just to keep to yourself.
Yeah.
And obviously we're so lucky with this friend group because that's not a necessity. We're always kind of charging in this beautiful way. But having these opportunities to be faced with adversity or faced with negativity or whatever it is just flexes the muscles and makes them stronger.
Absolutely. And it's really cool too. I feel like now this is something I've learned through all this is, I don't know. I feel like I used to, whether good or bad, whether they're my people or not, I used to kind of like, just like adhere, like match the energy, which I mean, I still do sometimes, like to an extent, but I used to like fully just, if these people are like low and like chill.
So was I.
So chill. Yeah. I'm like, I'm so chill. I'm like, I'm not fucking chill at all.
There's no chill. I'm
clinically insane.
Like, I am right there with you. And those people sometimes need that energy and sometimes you need theirs. And it's part of this beautiful fucking cycle that we call life.
It all works out in the end.
Allegra, I am such a fan. I love you.
I love you
too. I'm excited to go dance to some Penang Gang.
Spicy Soup, Penang Gang.
Benny Lipson, everybody.
We love you, Benny.
Let's go play some music. Let's go listen to some music and we'll do many, many more of these.
Let's do it.
Where can everybody find you? What can they expect to see soon?
So my EP is coming out, which I haven't actually announced it. So this is exclusive.
Hell
but yeah, I have an EP coming out in the next couple months. Very excited about it. But I have a couple songs I just put out, which you can find all streaming platforms under Allegra Miles and all socials under Allegra like the allergy medicine, Miles like you're running.
Straight up. Allegra Miles, thank you. Thank you, everybody, for watching.
Me.
Thank you for listening. Hope you're smiling. Hope you had a great day. And we'll see you guys next time. And to everybody out there, do you remember what to say?
I'm Allegra Miles and this is an experiment. No. Yes.
Yeah, you are 100% on.
This camera?
Whatever camera this you want.
I'm Allegra Miles and this is an experiment.
Hell yeah, it is. Thank you. Love you guys. And goodbye.
The experience is the experiment.